This is another series of our interviews as we consider managing ourselves in time for those in the public ministry, in particular the pastoral ministry. Our guest today is Pastor Darren Lindemann from Grace Downtown Milwaukee. And thank you, Darren, for your time and your willingness to be interviewed today.
Good to be here.
We had talked about several issues we wanted to discuss for our interview. The first one was, what would you say are some of the key mistakes that we as pastors tend to make when it comes to managing ourselves and God's gift of time?
I find one of them to be related to how you phrase that, and I like how you phrase this, that you don't use the phrase managing time. Time is an ever-rolling stream. It doesn't change. A day is as long today as it was when God first created the world. A second is as long. So in that sense, in that way, time is static. But I'm dynamic. I'm a creature of God. I'm a child of God. I can change. He's changed me. So I think it's important that we manage ourselves in how we use time. And so the first mistake I think we make is just not being aware of ourselves, is being low on the scale of self-awareness and not realizing my gifts, my strengths and weaknesses, not reflecting on my experiences in my life with my use of time or my misuse of time, and changing that pattern. That all relates to who I am as a person, self-awareness.
So the difference between what is and how I'm managing time right now and what could be. If I manage myself, then I change the wording.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I can go to a time management seminar. I can go to a productivity seminar. And there's a lot of excellent advice out there about time management. But if it doesn't work for me, if one of the pieces of advice is, use your alarm. Set your alarm and get out of bed early. But I'm not a morning person. I think we can guilt a lot of people into the fact that they don't manage time well when they try to do that, and they just simply can't do that because they're not aware of who they are if they pay attention to the fact that they're just not morning people, and accept that fact and then manage themselves by using time wisely and being more productive in the evening,
sure.
For example.
Or they're an afternoon person.
I'm a nap after lunch person. I'm aware of that.
Okay.
Yes. As a matter of fact, right now.
So nap awareness was the first.
Nap awareness.
Okay.
And then related to that, it's important to be aware of ourselves so that we don't follow the agenda of the squeaky wheel. I think the greatest challenge to being a pastor, when people ask me, what's the hardest thing about being a pastor? I say that, first of all, me. And then, secondly, is saying no. We're always in demand as pastors. That's a great feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to be able to say no at some point in time to the cacophony of voices around me asking and asking and asking, whether it's just my own human nature, sinful or not, whether it's congregation members, whether it's office staff, whether it's my family. If I just abide by everyone else's wishes every time they ask, and I consider things instant and an emergency, that's a mistake I've made in managing myself and my use of time.
I don't know where I got this phrase from, and maybe you will know it, the tyranny of the urgent.
Right,
everything
exactly.
That comes at me is both important and urgent at that
exactly.
moment, regardless of what I have prioritized for that day and that period of time.
And if I am aware of myself, my gifts and strengths, how I best use time, when is my best time, that will help me create a path for that day, an agenda, if you will, that is not belonging to the urgent. I mean, God deserves better than that. It belongs to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And that will help me make those very difficult choices, saying no. And they are difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But it will help guide the way. And, you know, urgency is so contemporary mm-hmm. with our age of instant information. My sons are teenagers, and they text me. And if I don't text them back immediately, They think I'm upset with them. Yes. So I mean, an email, we expect of ourselves that we are instant communicators. And I think we need to fight that a little bit and create a more purposeful use of time by understanding ourselves first and then how we can use it.
I mean, the difference, it would be fair to say when you sent the letter, you knew you weren't going to get anything back that day's mail.
Right,
had to go somewhere and someone had to ponder it and type it out or write it out and mail it and had to travel back to you.
Sure.
All right. What else? Mistakes.
I've made so many mistakes in my use of email, and I really think that's a biggie in our world, everywhere, and in a pastor's world is managing information. So I manage myself to help me manage time, but I can also manage all the information that crosses my desk every day. One book says that in the professional world, professionals spend up to 40% of their day on email or reading or thinking about or storing that information. 40%. And if I can use that time better and maybe get that percentage down or make more of that time as a pastor in the use of email, I think that's very significant. It's a hard thing to figure out. I think as a world, we're still figuring out how to use email, and we're not even close to figuring out how to do text messaging yet. So I think it would be very helpful to read, study, and learn more about the use of email. Even just one little email distraction, experts say, takes us 60 seconds to get back on track with what we were doing. And we need to be more disciplined in our use of email. And that's a goal I have, is to be more disciplined in that use. And I think I've mismanaged a lot of my time in the use of email.
If I could mention right now, you shared with me the name of a book in an email, The Hamster Revolution.
The Hamster Revolution.
I think those statistics you took came from that book.
Correct.
If I could just mention that to those who may be watching this interview, if that book, The Hamster Revolution, there'll be a... On the same website, there's going to be a book review on it.
Oh, good.
So take a look at that. It's already saved me, I think, quite a few hours. So I appreciate that.
It was an interesting read. I ended up purchasing two books from Amazon about email overload and management. And one of them was way more technical. Mm-hmm. It was specifically focused on Outlook, which now I've dumped that and I do Gmail. But it had just technique after technique after technique, and click this box and click this box, and I didn't find it helpful at all. But the Hamster Revolution is more about practices and principles that's across the board, no matter what email platform you have. And so that makes it a really good, practical read, high-impact information, but not a lot of it.
And it almost doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah, right.
Tongue-in-cheek.
They do it with a little chuckle.
Some of it.
Right.
Anything else that you'd want to list as far as common mistakes, common errors we make that make us poor managers of God's gift?
I think I better stop before I reveal too many of my sins.
At least they used to do it in a private confession. Well, then, what about insights? Tips that others have shared with you, insights you've gained by trial and error over the course of ministry years? What would you list for us that could strengthen us? You've already listed several, kind of on the flip side of the weaknesses.
But. One of the most helpful insights, actually it was a demand that came my way with the use of time, was when I came to Grace, they demanded that I proclaim a dedicated day off. Before that, I was in a mission church in South Carolina, and I just flexed my time off. And I felt that I took enough time off, and it was working. So I thought, well, I can flex time off. And they literally would not take no for an answer. They said, choose a day, and then that's your day off. We had to do a little bit of work with the church calendar. It ended up being Tuesday. Sunday is the busyness of worship, and then we have a Monday night service, so it really couldn't be Monday. And by day, they meant entire day. You can't take Monday off and then show up for church that evening. So we chose Tuesday as my day off. So that has been a tremendous blessing. I know after the rush of the weekend, just to know that there's that island of disengagement coming on Tuesday, I can save up my errands to run my house projects and get them done on Tuesday. And that dedicated day off, at least for me, has really worked. When I thought I could just flex my time, I thought it wouldn't, and it's really been a joy. I appreciate that.
Have you found God's people have honored that pretty well? Is that an ongoing challenge?
That's a great question. It takes some training. It takes some training. It starts with the church staff. Now, of course, I had the church coming to me and telling me to name the day, so they were helpful. Yeah, so the leaders are committed to it up front, and that makes a big difference, I think, for a pastor to try to incorporate that into his schedule with a leadership that doesn't understand it or support it would be a challenge, not an impossible challenge. But my leaders were supportive. It took some training for the staff. What do we do when a person calls for you at church and it's your day off? And certainly there's some flexibility in there if there's some kind of emergency.
Well, it's genuinely urgent.
Correct. And we make errors along the way. You know, they send people to call me when they shouldn't, and they don't when they should. And in our staff meetings, we talk about that, and we make sure that we adjust and we're positive about it, and we know the ultimate goal, and we're all going to make mistakes. I probably haven't responded to people when I should have. But it takes some discipline for me when I get those church emails in my inbox. I want to just, I can just respond to this one on my day off. And suddenly my home email folder is filling up because I'm giving attention to church. And then I'm at church the next day and I want to pay attention at home. So it absolutely takes some discipline. So discipline and training for everybody involved. It's easier for me being in a larger church that we have a church office. So the first phone call that comes in to you is to the church office. And so we have a secretarial staff that can handle those and disseminate them accordingly. Sure. If you're the Lone Ranger pastor in a church without an office and a secretary, that can be more of a challenge, I think, to take a dedicated day off. But then you train your people, train your leaders, and don't be embarrassed to say, today's my day off. I found that when I say that, people really respect that. Today's my day off. I appreciate that we can talk about this now. How about if I give it some thought and I can give you more time another day?
Eugene Peterson, I can't remember which book it is, talks about the calendar is almost taking the place of the Bible as far as authority.
Yes.
If it's in my calendar, the argument is over.
Right.
And if you have that time scheduled and you say, I've had an appointment that day or a commitment that day, people seem to understand that.
They do. Yeah, you can say, I'm going to be in the Word of God and praying to the throne of heaven. I don't know if I can come. And they'll say, just do that another time. But if you say, I have an appointment on my calendar, I need to keep that commitment. That's fine.
Sacrosanct.
Right.
Anything else that you encourage us as an insight that you've gained as far as managing again ourselves and God's gift?
In my early ministry days, I had a mission counselor who was a great model for planning and use of time. And he taught me just to set aside planning time. And he did it proportionately. He said, for every year, he takes a week to plan that year and look back at the previous. For every month, he takes a day. For every week, he takes an hour. And using our schedules appropriately, I think we can, again, do some planning ahead, aware of who we are, and just take that time away just to do a little planning and get the schedule set and my ideas set that can help us in our use of time.
And really, to go back to what you mentioned before, really prioritize what actually is important.
Correct.
Where are the needs that God is showing to us here in the ministry of this congregation? So that when other things come pressing at you, you've had time to prayerfully think through, that's why I'm doing this.
Yes.
There's a reason.
And when you know yourself and you're doing some planning, another piece of advice was, if you tend to be a people person and you'll do anything just to interact with people and give to people and care for people, but your desk time suffers because of it, then you need to schedule your desk time. If you're a bookworm, a desk person, and you just thrill in being in the study and in the quietude of being in the books, or even just doing planning or on your computer, then you need to schedule people time. And so again, that's knowing yourself and then getting it on the calendar.
Mm-hmm. Anything else in that area of insights, ideas that have proved helpful? Otherwise, we've got resources we were going to talk about as well. Should I move on to that one?
I have one new idea that I'm going to try. I haven't tried this yet, but you're on the edge here. This is cutting edge. This is the first public revelation of this idea. I have found that I have not been as successful as I want to be with various projects or programs, ministry areas, evangelism. That tyranny of the urgent, that cacophony, that demand everywhere, emails coming in, I tend to be not as focused as I want to be on certain tasks.
Maybe larger ones that take longer attention?
Larger, even shorter ones. Even just, I need to put some thoughts down for the evangelism meeting coming up that I'm going to email to the evangelism chairman so that we can set up the agenda. And it needs 10 minutes on my desk. A phone call comes in, or if I have my email open, that comes up. But probably more so for bigger projects, yes. What I'm going to try doing, instead of just finding a time in a day to go at those projects, or setting aside, if I have a long-term project, writing a conference paper, for example, or even sermonizing, instead of just finding a time for that here and there, setting off larger chunks of time. By larger, I mean a half a day or even a day, almost like a sabbatical, to get out of the office, go to the library. Maybe I can lock myself in my office if people respect that and understand what that means. But I'm going to try larger blocks of time rather than a number of smaller blocks. Fewer blocks, but they are bigger. And so I can be focused and dedicated, even to the point of putting an out-of-office reply in my email account. For instance, if I take Thursdays off to prepare for my conference paper. Mm-hmm. So that I don't worry about people emailing me and then I don't respond. And we worry about that.
Sure.
To put that auto-reply in, I am taking a sabbatical for the day to study. Put it in. I don't have to worry about it. Everyone knows where I am. I am off to the library or to the cabin or to the backyard, and setting aside larger blocks of time. And then I'm not going back and forth, phone calls, emails, and getting distracted. I'm going to try that.
And wouldn't that be a blessing, too, if you have this thing that's gnawing at you to get done and you don't have it scheduled?
Right.
It's forever bothering you.
Yes.
But if you Thursday afternoon, I have 4 or 5 hours set aside for that.
Right.
It's going to be all right.
Yeah, exactly. You know what's coming.
Yeah.
You can plan ahead for it. You know what's going to be there.
That's even the anticipation for that day off, too.
Right.
Even if it's been an exceedingly busy week, you've got a day to decompress, step back,
so
that it's coming.
Yeah, so that day off is helpful for the whole week, or that time, that block of time scheduled is helpful for the whole week.
Yeah. Well, now we need another interview to come back and
see. Yeah, we will. Now the pressure's on.
Yeah. There'll be people emailing us.
Don't get out of office.
The last one I wanted to ask, it's kind of a double question. Tools or resources, we've mentioned some of them already, that you found helpful that others have shared with you or you found, and what. And if you list something, maybe in particular, a specific, why that was helpful or useful.
We've talked about the Hamster Revolution as an excellent book for managing information. Mm-hmm. I found that to be one of the biggest change I've made in my emailing and positive change. And fun, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fun to help teach others.
Mm-hmm.
Another resource that's been helpful for me, especially recently, in discovering who I am, my gifts, my strengths, weaknesses, is a resource put out by the Gallup organization called Strengths Finder 2.0. It's one of many personal assessments, whether it's a DISC personality profile or any kind of personality test. It's on that level, but to me, it was more understandable than others have been.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you take an online survey, I think there's 177 questions, and it ends up giving you your 5 greatest strengths. And the principles behind it, it goes all the way back to Don Clifton, who was the guru of working in your strengths. Forget about your weaknesses. Find your strengths and work in your areas of strength. So that's the principle behind it. You find your strengths, but it's very helpful in then describing those strengths, not just giving you a term, you know, you're a monkey, or you're like Peter, you know, and those can be helpful, but really helpful, understandable information about my strengths, discipline, responsibility, input, futurist, and relator are my five. I know what they mean. I know how they interact. And there's 34 different strengths, and it does a good job of you reading it going, oh, that's me. And that tells you what to watch out for. And so when you buy StrengthsFinder 2.0 or one of a few other books in that series, they're on Amazon. You can Google it and find it there. You get a code, and that code allows you to go online and take the survey. To me, that's been helpful as I realize, how do I respond to tension? How do I engage in conflict? How much time does that take for me? What do I need to do? I'm a preparer. I'm a planner. So what do I say yes to, knowing myself that I'll need time to prepare? What do I say no to? It's helped me become aware of who I am, and that's helped me with my management of myself in the use of time.
Work out of the gifts God has given rather
absolutely
than trying to work out of gifts God has not given.
Correct. And none of us are perfectly balanced. And that's okay. We're all gifted.
And
yeah.
No, good point. I mean, the whole scriptural truth of the body of Christ.
Yes.
None of us is the whole body. Christ is the head, but each of us is a unique part.
Right.
And the eye and the foot cannot look down or up at each other. Equally important.
And that's what makes that resource, I think, especially germane to pastors. Because in a way, we specialize in conformity and unity and objectivity. God's truth doesn't change. That's our specialty. We don't want it to change. So in many areas of our work, we fight against change and subjectivity. We don't want that to be in every area. And so I believe we're personally challenged as pastors understanding who we are as individuals because we specialize in this objective world, and we want conformity when it comes to the truth. And so for me, that was a very healthy read. Understanding.
This is the most objective to understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. How has God gifted me?
How has he gifted me?
Anything else that you'd want to share with us as far as insights or strengths or weaknesses we could pick up that you say, oh, I wanted to say this before?
No, I don't think I have any more time.
Did I hear an alarm go off? No. Well, thanks, Darren. Appreciate the time you took to share with us. And I think we all heard a pastor who knows what a challenge this is.
It is.
And yet you're not ignoring working at that and sharing that with your brothers. So. Thanks very much.
Thank you for your efforts and interest.
God bless the words you've shared with us.